Okay, thanks. So my name is Uli Hafner, and I'm trying to give you a talk about a unified quality feedback across CI and CD pipelines. What I would like to show is how important it is to have quality monitoring some kind unified across the build systems or the CI systems. So first a couple of topics about me. I started as a Jenkins developer. I'm almost active since for 20 years. I built in Jenkins the quality monitoring tools, the warnings plugin and the coverage plugin. And I used in the beginning Jenkins primarily for continuous integration with industrial pipelines. So what I have shown is how the quality of industrial projects works. Now I'm switched the topics. I moved to education, and now I'm at the teaching at the university software engineering and software programming. And there I realized that we have the same topics there. We want to see how students perform while they are programming, so we need quality monitoring there as well. So we have the same topics, and it's just a little bit of different interpretation of the results. So my talk will show you a little bit about modern CI pipelines and how they build quality reports. Quality feedback, and we've seen already that you are using a different CI systems to show your results. Quality feedback is a little bit fragmented in the meantime. So we have a lot of tools that produce different data. So we had a talk about Fortran a couple of minutes ago. They produce test results from Fortran. And when you're using Maven, you produce test results in Maven, or you produce coverage results, or you produce static analysis results from Spotbox or CheckStyle or things like that. So we have a lot of reports, a lot of data, and the problem is the data that is shown is totally different if you're using GitHub, if you're using GitLab, or if you're using Jenkins. So there is no consistency about everything. So I think what we need is something that is unified for all these building tools. And I already mentioned that I started with Jenkins, and Jenkins exposed this the need for a quality, a shared quality model, because in Jenkins we have a lot of plugins that show some quality information. We have a plugin for unit testing, we have several plugins that show coverage information, and we have a warnings plugin that shows warnings, but everything is showing some kind of quality data. And some plugins even show it differently from build to build. So for me, it makes sense that we have a missing piece. We need a quality model that is shared across all those plugins in Jenkins, and we need one that is shared across different CI systems, that is the same in GitLab, the same in GitHub, and the same in Jenkins. And this quality model should gather all this quality information, and finally, it should, enable aggregation, it should provide trends, it should provide feedback for industry people or for students, and it should provide some quality gates when we say, when should we fail the build because of some quality problems. So I took the code that I programmed in Jenkins with the warnings plugin, the coverage plugin, and extracted the common code base and used Jenkins currently as a reference implementation. And I noticed the interesting thing is we can use the same quality model in the different systems. So it does not make sense to have different libraries for GitLab or GitHub. So we use one quality model that can be used in all of these continuous integration servers. So finally, we should have GitLab and GitHub produce the same output on the same build. It should not matter if we use continuous integration on Jenkins or on GitLab. It should produce the same output with the same data. So we centralize the semantics. So what is a quality gate? What building tools do you have? What quality tools do you have? And use a unique model that can be used across all these systems. Maybe this will be a little bit more clear if I show you the architecture of the whole structure. So I try to provide a small architecture image where you can see how the plugins or the model behaves. So basically, we have a different quality dimensions, I say. We have static analysis results. These are cumulative, so we have 10 warnings, 100 warnings, something like that. Then we have code and mutation coverage results. These results are more relative. And then we have test results, and test results are more binary, so failed or not failed. And then we have software metrics like complexity and things like that. They are even differently. So how are we dealing with these dimensions? We put the dimensions here, you see the four arrows here, into separate quality models. That means we have one specialized quality model here per dimension, and we have a specialized specialized parsers that transform the output of the build into these quality models. So we have parsers, for instance, for JekStyle or for Serif or for Spotbox, that feed into the static analysis data. Or we have parsers for Jacoco or for Cobertura that put the input from Cobertura coverage results and feed them into our quality model. We have tests, JUnit results, XML files, or we have software metrics from PMD, and they feed into these specialized quality models. The parsers are the only thing that needs to be provided when we want to use different new systems. For instance, I'm not sure if we have Fortran. If someone wants to report Fortran unit tests, we need a parser that takes the output of Fortran and feeds it here into our testing model, and then you can see Fortran results in a unified perspective. And this is where contributors are required or come into. So most of the parsers are written by contributors. So I started with 5 parsers that I used in my projects, but now we have 150 parsers in the static analysis model, where everybody who wants to show warnings about COBOL, Fortran, whatever, can show them in my models. And then we have the unification. We have specialized parsers and the quality model. And then we can start with a unified approach. We have a unified quality evaluation at the end that processes the results. And another key you need to mention is, or I need to mention is, the quality evaluation is totally decoupled from the build. So the project build is still with your project tools that you are used. So when you're using, for instance, Java, you're using Maven and the Java compiler. When you're using C, you can use GCC or something like that, and you're using Make, it doesn't really matter. We decoupled the build, and what is important for us is only the results that are processed. So each build produces a lot of reports. So for instance, when you are using Java, you have a console log where you see the warnings of the Java compiler, you see XML files from JekStyle, you see XML files from Spotbox, from Cobertura. All tools produce some kind of reports here. And these reports are from your build system, and if it's not supported, actually we need some contributions, then it will be supported as well. And here we start with our unified quality feedback. That means we take the reports, parse them, transform them into our model, and then we are starting our unified quality evaluation. That means we don't evaluate the builds, we evaluate the outputs of your builds. Let's see how does it come now to that that works for multiple CI systems. So we have this unified quality evaluation, which is of course independent of a CI system. And then what do we produce? We produce a lot of different things. So we produce, for instance, scores, how good is your change, how many failures do you have in the tests, what is the coverage, what are the static analysis results. So we show you trends, how does it work out for the next, for the last 10 releases, for instance, or we show you quality gates. And this is one of the important things. We have quality gates that enforce that you have zero warnings, for instance, or that your code coverage is 50% or something like that. That is something important. This is also generalized. This is available for all CI systems. Then we have these modelings, and what we need is some feedback for the users. So we also have consistent feedback with same context, same semantics for all CI systems. That means we produce feedback and say, okay, the code coverage is not good enough, or there are too many warnings, etc. And this feedback we need to present in the CI system. And here we need some customization, because Jenkins has a user interface where you have HTML and JavaScript where you can produce the results. In GitHub and GitLab you only have pull requests and markdown, so that needs to be changed here. But when we have this common thing, we can kind of have a short look at the quality feedback. The quality feedback is implemented via a quality gates, and these quality gates are for us a main control mechanism for your project. We have different kind of quality gates, and they are the same in Jenkins and GitHub or GitLab. So we have quality gates that are absolute, which makes sense for maybe greenfield projects, so you have 70% of global code coverage in your code. But sometimes it does not make sense to measure the global coverage, because you have a legacy project, like in Jenkins, we have a lot of code that is not tested, but the new code should be good tested. So we also have a relative thresholds for our quality gates. That means we can check which is the new code and what is the code coverage only of the changed code, and how many warnings have been introduced in the new code. So this is something which is also very important for users of our toolings, that we use relative quality gates. And finally, this is something we are using very often in Jenkins. We also can have delta-based thresholds. That means when you have your main branch, you can see how it behaves from release to release. And the idea here from these quality gates is that you say, maybe, we want to improve even better, but we want not to say, okay, it needs to be 90%, but we just say it should be better as the previous release. So these are the three types of quality gates you can select to choose. So the goal for the quality gates is not to punish, it's just to improve the results. So once we define the quality gates, the next question is how do we represent them? So in Jenkins we have the user interface, but in GitHub and GitLab we don't have a user interface. So what we do is we provide some structured pull request feedback. That means the scores, quality gates, and trends are shown in the pull request. We have markdown for this. And maybe the best thing is I show you an example. This is, for instance, quality feedback in GitHub, where you see the results of your build. You see you have some tests here and code coverage of new code. You see code coverage of existing code. You configure what you want to see here. So you can see everything what you have configured, the tests, static analysis, or code coverage. What you also can see, you see the quality status. That means for each quality that you define, you see the status. Okay, the overall test rate is okay, it must be 100%. That's line coverage of new code is 90%, etc. So you have different views, and all are shown in the pull request. And if you are an architect and want to dig a little bit deeper, you even can have a look at the diff, and each diff will provide some different visualizations where we have some annotations in GitLab on GitHub where you see, okay, here a mutation has been survived, or we have a warning or something like that. So this is something we use to show the quality results. And another point is, I already mentioned that I'm working in university and I'm using quality monitoring for students as well. And so we noticed when we are doing this for students, we can use the same thing. We need the same quality model. We have the same quality evaluation. The only thing what's changed is the interpretation. For students, we want some different interpretation. I try to summarize this in a table. So in industry pipelines, we have quality gates, and these quality gates decide if something goes into a release or not. For student projects, for assignments that students have in my courses, they get points for code coverage, for warnings, and finally they get a grade, an automatic grade, where they can see, hey, how are they doing from learning, or how they get some feedback. And I have hundreds of students, and it's very simple to get them a first feedback before I go make manual review. And in projects, yeah, you need in real projects, you need pull request reviews, and a quality gate is something that helps to simplify your reviews. So the lessons learned. Yeah, CI systems, they differ less than we expected. So the quality models are the interesting part, but the CI systems, well, they come and go, and it doesn't really matter for my tools. So if there is coming a new star, then we will import the user interface, but the model will stay the same. So the scoring we are using is a little bit more complex, not just simply failing, but yeah, the scoring, to put it in a library, helps to reduce the maintenance cost. So we have a single module that helps to show in different CI systems. And finally, yeah, the key lesson I have with this system, or with the implementation of the system, it is totally independent of the CI system. We can replace it anytime. It is independent of the user interface. We use Markdown, which is visible in GitLab and GitHub. And yeah, finally, it's open source. That's also important, so to get contributions for different parsers. And yeah, finally, I think, so the CI systems build software. This is one part. And the other part is we should have quality feedback. And this is something I am providing with my tools. So yeah, try them in your projects. I hope, yeah, it will help to improve the quality of your projects as well. So thank you for your attention. And now I'm ready for some questions. Yeah.
I have a question. Can you use this to test a software that has machine learning models and neural networks?
Okay. The question is if I can use the software that uses a machine and learning model in it.
Yeah. I'm trying to create a software that uses machine learning and neural network, but I don't have a quality monitoring.
Yeah. The question is if it works with a software that uses a machine model. But yeah, it can if your tools produce some output that I can parse. So if your tooling produces a report of the tests, a report of the coverage, a report of the warnings, then it is possible to use. If there are no parsers yet, we need to provide new parsers. But that's typically a one-day thing. So I get a lot of parsers from different areas. So if it's not supported, have a look how complex your output is, and then we can integrate it. Yeah?
Where does it run? So is it like run by CI?
The question is, where does the auto-grading run? It's part of the CI system. So in GitHub, it's a GitHub action that you're actually binding in. In GitLab, I didn't find a similar thing. So it's part of a Docker container, and you call the action in the Docker container. And it takes the output of your build, so it must have access to your build files, and then it produces the results. Yeah, that's currently a student working on this project. We are recording the delta, the reports for each build and storing it in the build. And in a pull request or merge request build, we search for the last build on the main branch, and then we take both result files, and both result files are compared against. In Jenk, it's a little bit simpler because we have references in the model, but yeah, in GitLab and GitHub, we need to point to the last build of the main branch, which is always not the right one. Yeah, but this is something we are currently improving. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for trends, how do you database for?
Okay, the question is, how do we report trends in GitLab and GitHub? We don't have trends yet. And because I don't see where I should show them. So in Jenkins, we have trends because we have it in a database. But in GitLab, I don't have this database. So this is something we need to add on. Or I'm not sure how we can do that in GitLab or GitHub yet. Yeah. OK, another question, yeah?
Yeah, I think now when we get those AI agents that are creating the code and everything, have you thought about how this does this about this type of system come into that type of pipeline, so where you're creating like a code by AI, then I think those type of systems are much more important now to guarantee what you get out from AI.
Yeah.
Follow my question?
Yeah, I'm not sure how this relates to the project because as the question is how AI generated code, how the AI generated code system fit with my code base. So I'm currently totally independent. I'm taking the results of a build, and if the build is produced by code that has been generated by AI, it takes the code what the build produces. So I have no knowledge about the content, and I don't have the tools. The tools are provided by you. I just take the result of the tools. Yeah?
I got a question. Like, you mentioned everything is decoupled from the CI/CD system.
Yeah.
You have. You basically provide a framework.
Yeah.
For the trends, you integrate with the Jenkins backend. It doesn't make sense to create a separate database and basically host it as a database. Mm-hmm. Everything just pull information from out there. Integrate with Jenkins and then look for the GitLab and GitHub.
Yeah, the question is if we shouldn't create a real application that has a database and so where we can put all the data into. Yeah, this would be a good idea. Maybe this is a good master thesis for one of my students, but we have it not yet. So yeah, it would be possible. Yeah.
So last question at the back,
yeah.
Which languages and which preferred formats?
So we have you can have a look at these links. We have 150 formats for the static analysis and 10 or 15 formats for code coverage. So you can have a look if your format is supported. And as already mentioned, most formats are a couple of hours to implement a parser. So you just need text input provided in my Java model, and that's really easy to provide if you at least maybe AI can write such a parser now. Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.